you could only accomplish one thing this year or like in the next 6 months, I wonder what that thing would be. If you've thought about it, maybe you've thought about it at length, especially if you've been a long time listener of Yogi Scopes Funcast, we usually do some exercises around the winter time, around the end of the year, new calendar year, to consider things like that and to really prioritize. So maybe you already have thought of that at length. Maybe it's shifted since then. I know mine had, and that's okay. Or maybe you haven't thought about it at all. This new moon, this week is the time to think about if you could just accomplish one thing to feel successful in the year 2024. And it does, you don't have to do the whole thing this week. What we want to do is set it into motion this week. And I'm going to tell you why this particular week, the sort of first week of May, first full week of May 2024, is the most auspicious, which also, by the way, like that word doesn't really mean anything to me in an embodied sense. It's a common word in the Vedic astrology context. It's the most lucky, I guess you could put it in a more simple terms. It's the luckiest. It's the most supportive week for beginning things. And if we sort of look around us in nature, that makes sense. The plants are just bursting forward with life. So what do you want to burst forward with this year and really put your energy and resources into growing? If we want to live in alignment with nature, which is part of what we're trying to do here on the Yogi Scopes podcast. Before I tell you about all of that, I'd like to extend you a warm welcome to the Yogi Scopes podcast. I'm your host, Rosemary Holbrook. I'm a Vedic sidereal astrologer and a soon-to-be yoga therapist. I'm this close to being finished with my CIAYT, which is an over an 800-hour program where, like, you know, if you become a yoga teacher, the minimum requirement is 200 hours. Well, since then, I've gotten my 300 and now this 800-hour yoga therapy training, which what that means for you is I take that knowledge and skills and apply it to the current astrology, because that's also another big love of mine, to help you live more seasonally, to help you feel these astrological energies in your body and take them into a practical sense in your life. Because that's probably the most common thing that people come to me either through readings or through yoga therapy session with an imbalance around, is usually a Vata imbalance. So much that I've been thinking about doing an episode about just that, about what to do if your love of astrology and or all things spiritual has provoked a Vata imbalance in your life, because it's likely that it has. And that's another topic for another day, but just some quick like symptoms maybe to see if this applies to you are maybe your scatterbrain, maybe you experience anxiety, maybe you experience insomnia, maybe you have a hard time sticking with one thing or seeing things through. Which is actually also a sort of shadow side of this season that we're in, is the energy right now is heightened towards beginnings and starting, which is fine. But like I was saying a moment ago, and this is what we'll sort of consider in this episode, is like, what do you want to start right now that you can see through? So having that more kapha dosha, more earth element rather than air and ether of vata dosha, of like just kind of flitting around from one place to another, having that earth element, that tapas, that fire, right? The other elements that are just as important to sustain that energy and see it through. So that relates to the topic of this episode. But I just also want to point it out that in an Ayurvedic perspective, in a yoga philosophy perspective, Vata is the seat of all disease. And most folks coming to me that are really spiritual people have a high Vata or Vata imbalance, often, as you know, you can see by some of those symptoms I just mentioned, among many other symptoms like being cold all the time, joints popping and creaking. Those can be symptoms of Vata imbalance as well, or just Vata dosha in your constitution. And so what we're doing here, the reason I brought that up with the Yogi Scopes podcast, is we are taking this spiritual stuff like astrology and yoga philosophy that can sometimes be really heady, really like in the ethers, and bringing it down to earth, bringing it into our body. And that's what we're doing. So at the end of every episode, I'll give you some yoga practices and some journal prompts to do just that. And that's what a yogiscope is. It's horoscopes for yogis. Use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology because it just pairs more easily with things like Ayurveda and yoga. It comes from the same ancient wisdom that the ancient Vedic texts that yoga, philosophy, and Ayurveda do. So it's just as ancient, just as full of wisdom. And it just pairs a little bit better than if you're new here. Maybe you just heard of astrology as like one thing, which is fine. I didn't know there was a difference until my very first yoga teacher training about 8 years ago now. So all that is to say, that's a yogiscope. That's the Yogiscopes podcast. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I'm also so glad that you are here. And so it is the day after the new moon in Aries. So this was meant to be the new moon in Aries podcast episode, but it's after the new moon. We're technically still in the new moon phase, but the moon has moved on to the next nakshatra. Not that important. What is important that I'm going to talk about this episode is on Friday, May 10th, is a very special day in the Vedic calendar called Akshaya Tritiya. And so that day happens once a year, every year around this time of year, when what it means is it's based on the sun and the moon, which in Vedic astrology we know as the luminaries. And so those two planets, if you will, right? Like, bear with me, neither of them are technically planets. One's a moon, one's a star. Anyway, under astrology, they function as a planet. Which means they're just bodies that move around Earth in space and represent things in our life. And so the sun represents our soul, our spirit, like how we want to show up in the world, right? Our ego. The moon represents our mind and emotions. So these two very important parts of what makes us who we are, the luminaries in astrology, are both exalted on Akshaya Tritiya, which means they are in signs that their qualities really do well in. So planets in astrology, here's a little astrology 101 lesson for you. It's a helpful reminder in understanding these things, no matter your level of experience. So planets move around in space. In astrology, when we say they're in a sign, it's from our perspective on Earth, and they govern things like parts of our being or qualities, right? And then signs govern areas of life, vibes. So it's like when a planet moves through a sign, that quality or that is, you know, relationships can be seen by planets. Like the moon represents the mother, the sun represents the father, right? That thing that is represented by the planet might be experiencing the vibe of the sign. And so the sun is exalted in Aries, which is a fiery sign. The sun is a fiery planet. They get along well. Aries is all about beginnings and getting things done. And the sun just really likes that vibe. The sun, the ego, the soul can really shine in the sign of Aries. And now the moon will be in Taurus on this special day on Akshaya Tritiya, which is where the moon is exalted. So Taurus being an earth sign ruled by Venus, it's very feminine, it's very grounded, and the moon, the watery, flowing, ebbing and flowing moon, likes that, gets along well there. So when both the sun and the moon are exalted, it happens once a year. It always happens like three lunar days, which are called tithis in Vedic astrology. That's where the Tritiya part comes from. It's the name of the tithi or the lunar day, where the moon is exalted and the sun is exalted at the same time. And just by the way these things move, the sun moves through the signs, like each sign in a calendar year. One month the sun stays in the sign. So it moves through all 12 in a calendar year. We can really see like the seasons being expressed through the movements of the sun. Like right now with the sun in sidereal Aries, that's an important part that I usually mention sooner, but we use the sidereal zodiac, which if you're new, maybe you've never even heard of that. Maybe you didn't know there were different zodiacs. Maybe you had an inkling, but you didn't know what it was called. Anyway, it's where the planets literally physically are in space. If you want to get like an app or something and check, if you don't believe me, just ask me, right? So the sun is in Aries during this time of year, every year. And when a new moon in Aries happens, which was yesterday, Tuesday, May 7th, late last night. So today we had our Yogiscopes flow practice for the new moon in Aries. Also for Akshaya Tritiya, which I'm considering sharing on YouTube because it was a really good one. I don't always do that, but you can sign up for drop-in and get the recording sent to you, but it's too late for this one, but you can sign up for next week. Anyway, MarsHillYoga.com/classes is how you can do that. Anyway, when there is a new moon in Aries, that means the sun and the moon are conjoined in Aries. And so the moon moves through a sign about every 2.5 days. So about 2.5, you know, on the third lunar day after the new moon in Aries, the moon has moved on to the next sign of Taurus and the sun is still in Aries. And so every year this happens around this time and it is considered the most auspicious or the luckiest, most supportive time for you to set something into motion. And like I was saying earlier, we really need to pace ourselves. Like you can do anything, but you can't do everything all the time, right? And so that's why I was saying if there was like one thing you could accomplish this year to make 2024 feel like a success, now was the time to consider what that thing would be. And this Friday, May 10th, is the perfect time to launch that. It is the most supportive, the most auspicious, the luckiest day for new beginnings of the entire year. And so I say that, and it's like really soon, right? Like it's Wednesday as I'm recording this. That's happening on Friday. That's like 2 days. So if you haven't thought this through, I'm not saying go rush into like signing some big contract that you haven't thought about, or like don't rush it. But if there was ever a day to launch things, it's this Friday. And so if you think about from a perspective of nature, that really makes sense, because I don't know about where you live. Maybe you live somewhere like I have a friend that lives in Alaska and I see her posts on social media and it just snowed the other day where she lives, like literally like 2 days ago. So maybe the plants aren't quite bursting forward with life where you live as they are here. Where I live, we have 4 solid seasons, and May is this magical month where it just things really start bursting forward. And we can see that in nature, and it feels right to live in tune with that. But maybe also you live somewhere tropical, and so maybe it's like the plants are kind of always blooming, and so you don't notice these seasons as much. Or maybe also even like other than that, maybe you do live somewhere with seasons, but you live like in a city, in an apartment, and that's just some people's reality, and it's okay. But where I live, like this building I'm in right now where I'm recording, this is Mars Hill Yoga Barn. FYI, this is the thing that I'm launching. If you can see me, you can see me on Spotify now. I'm putting my videos on Spotify. So if you use Spotify, you can also send me voice messages. That's cool. If you want to like ask me a question or something and I can respond to it in an episode, that's super fun. That's a new thing. Anyway, where I live, this building doesn't have HVAC in it. It doesn't have heating or air conditioning. I have a wood stove and fans, and I can open the windows, right? And that's what I have for temperature regulation in the building. And so that kind of sucks that I can't just set a thermostat to like 68 and be done with it. But I personally really enjoy it because it makes me have to live in tune with the seasons more. That's an important value to me personally. And so I'm not saying you need to go rearrange your life to like live somewhere with 4 seasons and no HVAC. You can just listen to me and I'll remind you about the seasons, right? But that's what nature is telling us to do now. The days are getting longer. We're in this period of expansion of the year, in the wheel of the year, as pagan folks call it. We're in this period of expansion, of growth, of bursting forth, of maybe even being a little bit unruly about it. That's what I notice in my yard, is like, things will just take over if I'm not very intentional about what I want to cultivate. And so that's what I want you to consider for this new moon in Aries, for this very special day on Shaya Tataya, is like, if you aren't very intentional about the thing that you want to put your energy into this year, that might mean pruning, right? Like, if you don't prune the bush, it's just going to grow out of control. If you prune the bush, it might, you know, bear more fruit because it's not trying to give all its energy to these new limbs, right? Does that make sense in your life? Take that analogy and apply it to your life and consider, are there limbs, shiny objects that you're giving energy and resources and prana and nutrients to that you would rather not do that? You would rather cut those things out, even though they're perfectly healthy, beautiful, good limbs, right? Or good opportunities, good things in your life that might be detracting from the energy and resources you could put into the fruit that you want to bear this year. So that's a good analogy for where we're at in the year and what we're considering with this new moon in Aries, with this Akshaya Tritaya. And so additionally, why I wasn't super worried personally, I was like, yeah, okay, this was meant to be the new moon episode. Getting it out late. Y'all that have been listening to me for longer know that I get on this soapbox a lot, that you could do your new moon practice like today or tomorrow, even though the new moon was over Tuesday night into Wednesday, depending on your time zone. It was late Tuesday night, May 7th. So the peak of the new moon has already happened, but it doesn't really matter that much as long as you're sort of flowing with the energies in like a zoomed out big picture sense. And so that's why I'm enjoying focusing on Akshaya Tritaya and the fact that we are sort of moving from Aries season, as you might call it, to Taurus season, because we have Jupiter just moved to Taurus. Another reason I wasn't worried about getting this episode out ASAP was because I wanted to give you time to kind of stew on that Jupiter and Taurus episode, because that's a big deal that Jupiter just moved to Taurus last week. And then soon next week, the sun will be moving to Taurus, and also Venus later in the week next week. So we're just heightening Taurus energy from the most you could consider from this Friday, from Akshaya Tritaya, like, revisit that Jupiter and Taurus energy. And maybe you then also consider, like, if you could bring something forth for the Jupiter and Taurus time, what would it be? And if it could only be one thing, or maybe you're in a period of where you do want to spread your branches and you don't care if the plums don't get as big. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? You might want to prune the branches so that you have the biggest plums ever, or you might not care about that and you might want to spread in more directions. It is up to you. There's no right or wrong answer, but I really like that analogy of nature, of where you can either do a lot of things and maybe just be spreading in a lot of directions, or you can do fewer things and get bigger results from those fewer things. And there's not a right or wrong answer, right? But that's the vibe we're in at this time of year, as life is bursting forth in spring. As we move to, also, we're at the tipping point from Kapha season into Pitta season, right? We're, at least if you live somewhere with seasons, it might not be as obvious if you spend a lot of time indoors in temperature regulated environments. It might not be as obvious if you live somewhere tropical. It might be a little bit delayed if you live somewhere way up north like Alaska, right? Or Canada even, perhaps. So it might not be as obvious, but no matter where you live, I'm certain that the days are getting longer, unless you live like right at the equator and kind of stay the same, more imperceptibly, more or less. But the further you get from the equator, the longer the days are getting until we reach the summer solstice about 6 weeks from now. So we are in this period of major expansion, and you can worry about pruning later, but right now you want to think about what do you want to give your energy to, right? And so with that, I just also want to say a quick piece about the new moon in Aries, even though it's technically already passed. So some of those things I've been saying are true about the fact that Aries is this like new beginning sign. It's a fiery sign. So when the moon comes there, it makes maybe emotions a little bit heightened. It also gives an energy towards like being self-starting, like wanting to start. Aries is like the spark of the fire. It's the first sign of the zodiac. It's also the first fire sign, which means it's the spark. Whereas Leo, being the next fire sign, is more like the flame, right? And then Sagittarius then becomes like the hot cold, if that makes sense. So Aries being the spark, it's like, what do you want to spark right now this week? And then on the shadow side, Aries can have qualities of maybe being pushy, or like I was mentioning, lacking follow through. It can also give rise to pitta imbalance, as in like burnout, other signs of pitta imbalance other than burnout could include things like acid reflux, indigestion. That could also tend towards vata. It depends. Things like acne, or like really oily skin and hair, that can show like excess pitta. I mean, it could just be your constitution. Anyway, also shadow side of Aries is like being cushy or tantrumy, or like my way or the highway, right? Maybe a little bit arrogant or self-centered. So those are some quality on the shadow side of this sort of time of year we're in, or maybe like this new moon. You might want to consider like avoiding those things with your new moon intentions or your Akshaya Tritiya intention. But then the nakshatra, where this new moon is happened, is Bharani. And that's what we were exploring in that practice that was sort of for the new moon, sort of for Akshaya Tritiya. It really goes for both. That when you consider, like I was saying with the pruning, when you consider bursting forth with new life, something, you have to let go of something. Like, we're always on this cycle of birth, death, and rebirth, right? Death and rebirth. And that's what the nakshatra Bharani is all about, where it is symbolized by a yoni, as in like the female reproductive organ, or at least like the outside part of it. So that's like the portal for birth, right, is the yoni. And then the deity that rules this nakshatra is Yama, the lord of death. So that right there gives you the connection to death and rebirth. But I also want to point out, what are the Yamas, right? They are the self-constraints, the self-restraints. They're like how we govern ourselves. We put these little, you know, we rein ourselves in according to the eight limbs of yoga. The Yamas being the first one of like, we should restrain ourselves in this way, self-constraints, to get the best results. And that could be another thing to consider, is like, don't just set intentions to like grow out of control. It's like, can you rein yourself in to bear the best fruit that you want to bear, if that makes sense, for this year. So the overall energies for right now, to just kind of recap, with this new moon in Aries that just happened, but also the Akshaya Tritiya, which is, I would say, even more auspicious to set these intentions for, because the new moon in Aries, you can set your intentions for like the next lunar cycle. What do you want to bring forth, or how do you want to show up? That's great for that. But then for Akshaya Tritiya, it's like in the wheel of the year, what are you really giving your energy to this year in 2024? Like, what would make you feel successful at the end of the year if you accomplished one thing, right? And often our priorities change, or like if you did this exercise with me back in December,
when we were setting intentions for the year, I know mine has changed because of just the way things played out that I maybe could have predicted, right? Like, I personally don't feel like it makes me a bad astrologer because I sort of revel in the mystery sometimes. I'm like, you know, I know what the vibe will be like, but I don't know or care to know what exactly will come to pass. And so the vibe right now is bringing something to bear, like bringing something to fruition. Like, what are you really going to put your energy into nurturing this year, right? So I just want to point that out, how that relates to when you think about like actual literal birth. And if you've never had a child before, this is something I'm like, nobody can prepare you for this stuff. Like, I didn't know before I had a kid. I thought I knew because I had seen that scene in Gone with the Wind where like she's having a baby. And so I thought I knew what birth was like, right? Anyway, so it's like once you give birth, like birth itself is hard. So right now we're at the birth time. Like, we've been incubating all winter and maybe tending to the root system. And so right now is like birth time, like renewal time. We're starting. It's the spark of the fire. And then to keep, you know, you can have a spark, but if you don't have good fuel or good sustenance or good airflow, right? Like, the fire is not going to stay lit. Like, you have to keep the fire going, right? So that's one analogy. But then also another analogy is like when you give birth, that is hard, and like going through labor is super hard, and like we know that. And what you might not know if you've never had a kid is there is this moment called transition where it's like just precisely at the moment where you feel like you can't do it anymore, where you're like, like in both of my labors, I had home births, and I was like, take me to the hospital. I want drugs. Both of them. And I like the first time I didn't know it was coming. The second time I did. Still same response. It's like precisely when you feel like you cannot do it anymore is the moment that you are opening up, and it's called transition. You're transitioning from laboring to actually pushing the baby out. And so that's in labor. That's in childbirth, right? Which is what we're kind of likening this to. But then once you have the kid, you gotta raise that kid. Like, you're not just done because the thing is born, right? And it's the same thing with, like, let's say a book. Like, you spend all this time writing a book, and your eyes are just, you know, like tired from looking at the screen or whatever. You like read over the same book and edited it so many times, and you're just sick of it, right? And that's when you're almost done. And then you get the book finished. It's born. The book is done. But then you can't just like set it and forget it unless you're already famous, I guess, or something, or have a really good marketing team. But most of the time, most authors, after you finish writing a book, then you have to like go on tour and sign the books, and you have to promote the book, and you have to go on podcasts and talk about the book, right? So there is this element that like right now is the time for birth. Akshaya Tritiya is like you're birthing the thing. It's the spark of the fire. It's the baby is born. But you're going to spend the rest of the year nurturing it. So what is that thing you want to nurture? And I have some journal prompts, of course, to help you. So that's the vibe for right now. That's the overall energy. And then, so like, what do you want to start? And then your yoga practices, before we get into the journal prompts to help you kind of suss all that out, is incorporating your pelvic floor in your breath, which we did throughout the entire practice. I'm just going to post it on YouTube because it was a good one. We kept coming back to the pelvic floor thing and breathing from like feeling that expansion and contraction. So even if you don't physically have a yoni, you do have pelvic floor muscle, and you can still explore that and feel that energy in your body. And then also exploring open and closed movements and matching that with your breath in your practice. So the exhale is the contraction, the closing movement, the turning inwards, and exploring that with the concept of death, the end of the cycle, shedding, pruning. And then the inhale is the opening movement, the expansion, the new life coming forth, the birth, right? and exploring that as much as you can, just check out that practice on YouTube. I'm going to post it right after I post the podcast episode. So it'll be there under astrology yoga practices. If you just go to youtube.com/@symbolyogiscopes, you can find it there. And then also exploring second chakra practices, which you can kind of explore that in that. It's an hour long practice if you want to try it out. And then another theme to explore in your yoga practice related to this is tapas, or the fire of transformation. So that also, that sits at the third chakra, like right at the core. And so we were exploring that with the breath too in our practice today. But basically it's like no transformation happens without heat. And so this is something we've sort of been exploring. We explored it in the Jupiter in Taurus practice and the yoga practice, and also some in the Akshaya Tritaya yoga practice. And I've sort of been hinting at it. This episode is like, you have the spark, right? That's Akshaya Tritaya, that's Aries, that spark. And if you don't have adequate fuel and adequate ventilation, so earth element and air element, right? Kapha and Vata dosha to sustain the Pitta dosha, right? Like if you don't have it all, if you have some imbalance, your fire might go out, or it might, you know, you might smother it with too much fuel. You might blow it out, or you might, you know what I mean? So you have to have fuel. You have to have airflow, right? And that is, all of that contributes to the heat of transformation, right? And so if you do want to transform something this year, all of that is going to be required of you, right? And so we're at this time of year where we're moving from Kapha dosha, Kapha season, that earth and water season, into Pitta season, that fire season. And so it's time to consider now, here are your journal prompts to help you sort through all the things that I've been saying this episode, is one, what seeds am I planting or nurturing? Like, what do you want to focus your energy on in the garden of your life this year? And then number two, what is my relationship to creativity or femininity? Like, what is your relationship to nurturing? Is there some stuff there around nurturing or being nurtured, or creativity? Do you see yourself as creative? Do you see yourself as not creative? What is that process like for you? And just consider it. Just journal on it. And then also, third journal prompt is, what is my relationship to the fire element? Am I stagnant or am I burnt out? Is there buildup and my fire just can't stay lit? Or does my fire need a little more fuel, right? Does that make sense? A little more. The burnt out end of the spectrum would be like so much movement that you're just out of fuel and you need to like chill out, slow down, build a firmer foundation, tap into those Kapha dosha energies. Or do you feel stagnant where like nothing's really happening, nothing new, right? So consider those things. And then consider also this question I've been asking throughout the episode is like, when you consider what seeds you're planting and nurturing, if there was only one thing, because I can almost guarantee most of us are like, they're like, I'm going to do these three things this year. And probably not. Well, can you pare it down a little bit? Can you consider, I wouldn't do any more than three, but I'm going to encourage you to pick just one. Like, come hell or high water, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Like, what is the one thing that you're going to do in 2024 if the poop hits the fan, right? I'm sorry, I'm using a new microphone, so I don't know if my arm just hit it. It clipped in my shirt, and that's the first time I've ever done that for a podcast recording. If you're not watching the video, I tend to be animated when I talk. So anyway, those are your journal prompts. I wish you the utmost success this year. And also to mention, I've dabbled around this. The thing that I'm launching is this place where I'm recording, Mars Hill Yoga Barn. You can go to MarsHillYoga.com. I am getting new things added to that website every day. And the thing that I am most excited about, and what I'm actually hoping to launch by Friday and have on the website by Friday, I don't at the time of this recording,
But the thing I'm most excited about is the new Vedic Astrology Student Clinic, which is where past students of Astrology for Yogis, my trauma-informed Vedic astrology certification course that I offer, graduates of that program or folks that have moved through all of the curriculum and are either close to graduating or like they have to do a certain number of readings with my feedback to get their certification. And so those folks, whether they receive their certification or are close to it, are offering readings. And so that will be live. The first day actually is May 14th, which is when the sun moves into Taurus. And so I also will be giving readings through that clinic, but you don't know who it's going to be, if it's going to be me or one of the students. So that's just the luck of the draw. And that's how I was hoping to incentivize y'all to try it out, to take a leap of faith in our students that have been trained by me very extensively. So you're getting a reading like I would give anyway, even if it's not me, but I recognize that it's somebody that you might not feel like you have a relationship with because we've been, you know, if you've listened to the podcast, it probably feels like me and you have a relationship, whereas you might not with the other person. So anyway, that will be live on the website by Friday. Just go to MarsHillYoga.com and poke around. That's the thing that I am launching. And that's where I kind of had to let other things fall by the wayside. I was like, what do I want my life to look like? And this has been in the works for a long time. And if anybody cares, I'm happy to tell you. But I'm like this thing is a kite and I am running right now trying to get this thing off the ground. And this is the thing I want to put forth this year. So I hope you consider something similar for yourself. What is one big project that you want to grow and put all your energy into and prune the other branches? So I had to prune some other branches, some things that I really loved doing in order to focus my energy on this. And so more coming soon about that. Because it, you know, I like things are changing, like the membership that I've offered for a long time, I made it more streamlined. And so it's also cheaper now, but it's not open for enrollment yet. And so maybe that will be on the website soon too. I'm moving everything over from yogiscopes.com to MarsHillYoga.com. So I hope you'll join me over there. If you're near the Asheville area, I hope you will come for a class sometime. We have classes 7 days a week out here. And I wish you the most blessings and success this year. Please remember to keep your feet on the ground, your head in the stars, stay in the light. Until next time, friends, take care.